with our series. We are on the fourth week looking at the book of Philippians. We've made it into the second chapter, chapter 2. We have taken a look at the first chapter and the first part of the second chapter. This week we'll be going a little bit quickly. We have an exciting presentation at the end. We'll be hearing about how the Lord has been at work through those that we have sent out from our own church. So we look forward to hearing that presentation in a few minutes at the end of the service. Today we will continue to look at the book of Philippians. We are at the end of the month of November. The month of November is an interesting month. We start off with Election Day. America has a wonderful democratic system that I believe God has used to be a blessing in the world. However, Election Day sometimes can be a little bit dicey. It seems like, especially in recent years, every election has been a little bit more bitter than the one before, a little bit more divisive than the one before. Election Day can be a difficult day. I like to say to my kids, I've reached the dad joke stage of life. So I like to say to my kids that America has the worst government in the world, except for every other government in the world. So we have a wonderful system of government, but there are downsides and there are some drawbacks. And on Election Day, we're reminded of the way the world works, the world that we live in, how that world works. And on Election Day, in order for one party to gain, it can only happen if the other party loses. One side can only win if the other side loses. And we end up often having conversations that end up getting more and more divided, more and more bitter. It's getting harder and harder for someone who is seeking leadership to have the attitude of, I'm going to listen to you if you're different. If you have a different point of view, I want to hear what you have to say and really learn from you. It's getting harder and harder. It's seeing more and more as a sign of weakness. And so we start off the month of November with Election Day, which seems to be more and more a day of divisiveness within our country. Of course, this is nothing new. As bad as the political ads are today, if you go back and you look at the political ads, say, from the 1800s, they're even worse. They said the most horrible, awful things about Abraham Lincoln. So as bad as it is today in the Senate, at least we don't have fist fights like we have at earlier times in American history. So this is nothing new, but it is a reminder of the way the world seems to work, the way the world often works around us, that we can only gain at others' expense. But then the month of November ends with Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is almost the opposite of Election Day. Thanksgiving is the day when we stop, we get away from the competitive workplace, the competitive rat race that we're often in. We come together with our family. And if your family contains more than one person, then coming together with your family probably means coming together with people that you love, but who are a little bit different from you. We come together with our families on Thanksgiving, and we take the time to consciously remember our blessings. Instead of counting our differences, instead of counting our grievances and blaming them on the other guy, we take the time to count our blessings and the good things, the things that are going right, the ways that God has been at work in our lives. And we take that moment to consciously give thanks to God, to remember the ways that God has been at work in our lives, the ways that God has been at work in our families, the way that God has been at work in our community and in the world. And we are thankful on Thanksgiving. So it's almost like within the month of November, we have these two opposite extremes, these two opposite ways of living life. And these 2 days, Election Day and Thanksgiving, in broad strokes, seem to paint a picture of two different ways of living our lives. And so we have the question then for the rest of the year, for every other day of the year, how are we going to live our life? Which day will our life look more like? Will it look more like Election Day, or will it look more like Thanksgiving? And what does the Bible have to say about how we should live our lives? We have been studying the book of Philippians 3 weeks previously, and there's a theme that we've noticed each week as we've been taking a look at the book of Philippians. Sometimes it's a little more obvious, sometimes it's a little bit more subtle, but over and over again in this book, as it happens over and over again throughout the entire Bible, we see this contrast that keeps getting repeated. And the contrast is between the normal way of living, the way the world usually works, the way the world tends to operate, the way the world works, and the way that God is calling us to live. The world works in this way, But God is calling us to live in this other way. And we see this theme repeated over and over again in the Bible. The Bible says, this is how the world works, but this is how you are to live. We saw it, first of all, in the beginning of chapter 1. How do we respond to hardship? How do we respond to suffering? How do we respond to injustice? And the world tends to operate by responding with either bitterness or despair or vengeance, trying to fight back, or giving up. These tend to be ways that the world would encourage us to respond to injustice or to hardship or to suffering that we go through. But the Bible calls us to something different. The Bible doesn't call us to give up. The Bible does call us to resist injustice, but to do so with an attitude of peace, of gratitude, to be thankful even when things are going wrong, to remember the blessings even when there are sufferings alongside, to have joy even during hard times, and to remember that God is with us, that God is good, that our joy comes from the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of God, that our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. In the next verses, we again have this contrast between the way the world tends to paint things, the way the world tends to work, and the way that God is calling us to live. What do we live for? What is our purpose? What drives us in this world? This world says, look out for yourself. No one else is going to look out for you, so you need to look out for yourself and put yourself first. The way you measure your success in life is by personal victory, by winning, by beating others, by defeating your rivals. The Bible calls us to something else. The Bible calls us to live for God's kingdom, to live to see Christ glorified, to live with passion, to live with purpose, to strive, to work hard, but not for our own achievement, not for our own personal victories at others' expense, but for God's glory and for Christ to be glorified here and to the ends of the earth. What are we living for? There's a contrast between the way the world works and the way God is calling us in Scripture. And then last time we took a look at how we treat other people in the light of our purpose, in the light of what God is calling us to. How therefore should we treat other people? And the world says, it's everyone for themselves. Everyone is out to get you, so you better be out to get them. If you want to win, you've got to beat the people who are trying to beat you. So you need to gain at others' expense, and you need to watch out, because other people are going to try to win at your expense, so be afraid and work hard and beat them. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says, put others first. Even if they're not on your team, even if they're your enemies, put others first. The Bible is calling us to live in a way that is the opposite of the way the world tends to work. So we have these two very different ways of living that we've seen so far in the earlier weeks as we've been taking a look at this book of Philippians. The Bible is very honest. The Bible is not painting an everything is perfect, just live happy and do nice things, and if you're nice, everyone's going to be nice to you. The Bible doesn't say that. It's not true, and the Bible doesn't say it. The Bible acknowledges the difficulty. The Bible acknowledges that there will be suffering and injustice in the world, and that sometimes we are the ones who have to go through the hardest times. The Bible acknowledges this reality. It describes the world as the world is. And then describing the world as it is, the Bible calls us to live in a completely different way. And this is really difficult. It's really difficult to acknowledge that people will be out to get you, and yet we are to put others first. It is really difficult to acknowledge that life will be full of sorrow and suffering, and yet we are called to live lives of peace and to continue to place our faith and our reliance upon Jesus Christ. What God is calling us to is really, really difficult. It makes sense if the world is fighting against us. It makes sense to fight back. When things get hard, it makes sense to break or to lash out. The way the world works makes sense. How can we live in a different way? How can we love people who are hating us? How can we serve people who are trying to gain at our expense? How is this even possible? And the Bible gives us these commands, but also shows us a picture of of what it looks like. And that picture is the person and the life of Jesus Christ. We read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. God has given us a picture of what it looks like. Everything that we are called to do is the way that Jesus Christ Himself has lived. When the Bible calls us to live in this different way, the Bible is calling us to live the way that Jesus Christ has lived. The Bible is calling us to follow in His footsteps, to live the life that He lived. Jesus didn't live an easy life where everything was always smooth and there was never any difficulty. But Jesus lived a life of purpose, a life of passion, a life with meaning, a life that made a difference in the world. And we are called to follow Jesus and to live like He did. And what did Jesus do? Jesus, although He was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the life that Jesus lived. He didn't seek His own. He didn't fight for more. It says He was already God. He didn't need to grasp to try to make Himself higher. He already had the highest of heights. He didn't grasp for more. He didn't fight for more. And He didn't even fight to hold on to what He had and to protect it from other people who might try to take it from Him. But rather He gave. He sacrificed. And He sacrificed not only for the people who were nice to Him and the people who liked Him, but He sacrificed and He served those who would betray Him, those who would abandon Him in His hour of need, those who were sinners, who had turned away from Him and were enemies of His Father whom He loved. This is the example that Jesus Christ lived, that He lived among us. And all of those things that we were pointing out as we studied the book of Philippians chapter 1 through the beginning of chapter 2, the ways that God is calling us to live in a way that's different from the world, Jesus Christ lived those ways. He lived with peace. He was at peace in the midst of difficult times, of every kind of suffering and trial. He pursued God's kingdom. He lived not for His own pleasure, not for His own advancement, but for the glory of God. And He put others first, with His life and even with His death. All of the impossible commands that have been given to us, Jesus Christ has lived them out Himself through His life. So then what was the outcome? What happened as a result of Jesus Christ living in the way that God is calling us to live? We are told to look forward to that day and to remember and to look forward that because therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. With these words, some of this has already happened. Jesus Christ has already been exalted. But we still look forward to that day when that exaltation will be made complete, where every tongue will see what has happened, and see the glory of God, and give to God that glory. Because Jesus Christ laid down His glory, because He did not pursue Himself, because of that, the Bible says, every knee will bow before Him. This is what Jesus Christ has taught us, that when we seek to save our life, we will lose it. But when we give our lives, we will find them. When we give, we receive. When we grab for ourselves, when we refuse to give to God, when we withhold from God, that which we withhold from God rots and withers and melts away. But when we give to God, that which we give, God blesses and multiplies and returns to us. This is not the kind of promise where we say if we make a donation, if we give money, then God will give us more money. Or if we do good things, if we are good to other people, then we will only have good things happen in our lives and only have blessings. That's not the case. Paul says in the next few verses that we'll study later, Paul says, even if I am being poured out like a sacrifice, even if my life is being poured out for your sake, I rejoice and count it a blessing. That even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of giving ourselves, we are blessed in this life, and yet we look forward to the day when that blessing will be made complete, when Jesus Christ will return in victory, and our tears will fully be wiped away, and we will rejoice with Him. But how? How is it possible? How do we live in a world full of taking? A world where people try to take advantage of us and do take advantage of us. A world where people gain at our expense and fight against us. How do we live in that world, blessing others, giving to others, asking that God would bless others through us, even if it comes at a cost to ourselves? How is it possible to live like that in the world we live in? The good news is that it is impossible. We can't do it. And that's good news, because when God calls us to do something impossible, He always makes the way. When God calls us to do the impossible, He does it for us, on our behalf. So as God calls us to love when we are being hated, to give to those who are persecuting us and hurting us, He makes it possible through Jesus Christ. As we read in this verse, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are told a few verses earlier in verse 1, we are united with Christ. We are made one with Him. And so the mind of Jesus, the mind of Jesus Christ who has already lived in the way that God is calling us to live, we have that mind within us because we have been united with Christ. It has already happened if we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And so He has given us what we need. He has given us the life of Christ within us, that we may have new life in Him. That what is truly impossible according to our old strength and our old life is possible because we have new life, because God Almighty lives within us. And because God Almighty lives within us and transforms us, therefore God works within us. Because God works within us, we find that God can do through us what we cannot do. And when we say, God, I cannot love this person who hates me, but God can love them. And God lives within you. And God can love them through you. And so what is truly impossible for us is possible because God lives within us by grace through faith. And God does within us what we cannot do. This is the good news of the gospel, that we can live in a way that is different from the world, even through suffering, and bring glory to God and magnify the name of Christ because of what God does within us through Jesus Christ. And so we see all three of these things. It is not one or the other, but all of them. That Jesus Christ lived the example. He showed us what a good life looks like. He showed us the way we should live. And when we try to live that way, we fail. And as we fail to live according to the example that Jesus Christ gave us, we cry out to Him and we say, God, I see how I'm supposed to live and I can't live that way. I need You, God. I need You, Jesus. And as we cry out to Him, He answers our prayer. He transforms our lives. He gives us new life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And as He transforms us and gives us a new life, that's not the end. He doesn't save us and then wait for us to die to greet us in heaven. He saves us and He continues to live within us. He continues to live within us, giving us His life and His power, so that for the rest of our lives we can live in a new way. We can live having peace during the times of stress. We can live having joy even when our hearts are breaking, not by our own strength, but as a testimony to the power of the God who lives, the God who answers prayer, the God who works with power. It's not something that happens instantaneously. It happens in a moment and unfolds over the course of our lives. That God breathes new life into us each day. And so we call out to God. We remember. We give thanks during this Thanksgiving weekend. We thank God, especially, more than anything else, we thank God for Jesus Christ and what He has fully accomplished already on our behalf. We thank our Father and we thank our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we receive once again the power, the presence, the new life of Christ dwelling each day within our hearts, giving us fresh power each moment. And we commit for the first time, or we commit anew, afresh. We commit to live our lives for the glory of God and not for ourselves. We commit to live our lives by the strength that God gives us, not relying upon ourselves, knowing that we are broken, but knowing that in our weakness He is strong. And so we commit our lives to each day ask for His strength for that new day, and to live in that strength, and living in the strength that He gives us each day to give glory to Jesus Christ each day, and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth and to our next door neighbor in our words and in our actions by the strength and the power that He gives each day. May we live for Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that what You have called us to is impossible. We thank You, Lord.